Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 33. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." You may be seated.
Good morning. Well, if this sounds slightly familiar, it's a follow-up to a couple of weeks ago, the godliness of courage. Let me begin by recollecting a scene from the movie Patton, in which George C. Scott reenacts the encounter General Patton has with a soldier at a field hospital. The general is honoring his wounded men until he comes to this one guy shaking like a leaf, and he asked a nurse, "What's wrong with this man?" And she said something like, "Oh, sir, he's suffering from the emotional stress of the battlefield." At that point, Patton takes off his gloves and starts smacking the soldier in the face, calling him a coward, telling him there's nothing wrong with him, and running him out of the hospital where other soldiers were bleeding, bandaged, and dying on their deathbeds. Would you think Patton understood the implications of cowardice if, among his troops, if gone unchecked? For one thing, you're not going to win a war if your men lose the will to fight. And by the same token, do you think our God understands the ramifications of a coward in and among his people, Israel? When the Lord declares in Jeremiah 51:20 that our race is his battle axe and weapons of war, the thought of a coward doesn't even enter the picture. In fact, the word coward is not even in the Bible. Although, as we'll see, and as Pastor Elmore just read today's scripture reading, there are cases of cowardice. God's word is more focused on the godliness of victory and the means in which to achieve it than having a preoccupation with defeat. The enemy works very hard to instill a mindset of doom and futility, which leads to our surrender to the world. I'm going to show you why the politics of surrender is ungodly and what constitutes the ungodliness of being a coward. But first, let's define the word coward. From the early European languages, there were variations of spelling, supposedly to be from the French word, the root word coart, couhard, and colombertier, meaning to turn the tail. The term found its way into heraldry when a lion's tail doubled between his legs. So you can probably see the modern cliche of putting his tail between his legs. has a direct inference to a coward. We see the body language in dogs and other animals. We can best identify a coward by saying this. A coward is a person who is bankrupt of courage when confronted with danger. A fear of exposing oneself to injury, pain, or loss. I came across a synonym for coward. How many of you have ever heard the word poltroon? It means a spiritless coward, craven, characterized by complete cowardice. Now, did you pick up on the word spiritless? Without spirit, we're dead. If we're spiritually dead, how can there be godliness? What is godliness? Well, it is conforming to the will of God. It's our divine nature, the breath of life made in the image of God to take dominion of the earth. It's our divine nature. I know it's no small order from our commander-in-chief, as we've been trying for thousands of years. But there are things out there in the world that quench or extinguish our battle-axe spirit. And the Israel race of God finds an easier and softer way of life in man's law and man's illusion of free will. Now, I believe there's a connection between a coward and ungodliness. Psalm 73:12 tells us who they are. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, this is not knocking the prosperity of godly Christian economics, but rather chastising the love of mammon and all the ungodly wars for profit of Babylon. Well, who is the coward in Matthew 10:39? He that findeth his life for filthy lucre's sake, or he that loses his life for my sake, for Jesus Christ. The Bible suggests those who will not die or kill for what is right and wrong will themselves lose their life. The way of the ungodly shall perish, Psalms 1:6. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, God condemned them with a catastrophe, setting an example to men intending to be ungodly. Do you suppose the godly battle axe was designed to destroy the ungodly cowards among us? The book of Jude talks about the apostasy of the church and a time when people just don't give a damn about anything except their own self-gain. And verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, meaning cowards, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into unbridled lust. What better illustration of this than the criminal policy of the Catholic Church to hide and cover up their perverted predator priesthood before the world? Their cowardly fear of exposure couldn't be much more blatant. Verse 8 of Jude continues, likewise, these of a perverted imagination mongrelize our race, despise dominion or reject authority, and speak evil of dignities. This is the mindless, politically correct cowards of corporations and a godless government of greed who call good evil and evil good. The Bush cartel is a family of cowards, rich ones at that. George Sr., Papa Bush, flew one of those World War II planes with a glass bubble on the underside of the fuselage for a machine gunner. And twice he crash landed this type of plane, killing the gunners when there were alternative ways of landing and not harming his fellow soldiers. Well, what was the definition of a coward again? A fear of exposing oneself to injury, pain, or loss. These sorry excuses for manhood are going to get a visitation. In verse 14, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds. These are murmurers, complainers, leading lives according to their lust. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. These are the ones who cause divisions, being animal-like, not having the spirit. Do you recall earlier the word poltroon means a spiritless coward? Almost every element of our vanishing Christian society has been compromised. We now live in a nation where doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the media destroys information, religions destroy morals, and banks destroy the economy. That's straight out of the plan of action documented in the alleged forgery called the Protocols of the Learned Cowards of Zionism, written over 100 years ago. Well, have you noticed in the news how the Antichrist Jews are armed to the teeth with super heavy tanks, behemoth bulldozers, state-of-the-art bulletproof vest and body armor, and high-tech weapons used to kill innocent Palestinian civilians? Their cohorts in the media put kind of an exaggerated spin on this war against terrorism. There is mounting evidence that 9/11 points to Jewish complicity, not Arab. There's an atmosphere of cowardly motivations, not only from the perpetrators, but also from the same American public that has paid taxes to the unconstitutional Jewish-controlled IRS that returns the Jewish investment of bribing Congress with the lion's share of foreign aid. Let me tell you, this ain't the Lion of Judah, but the lion whose tail is double between its legs. The rhetoric from Jews and Catholics and any other political religious bully is the vile murmurings of cowards who despise decency and godly authority and speak evil of dignities. They exert a false authority, becoming adversarial to Scripture because they have committed themselves to a point of no return, in contradistinction to the biblical delegation of authority. A coward is not just a soldier shaking like a leaf because he fears death. There is a much more elevated coward in positions of authority who are entirely dependent upon the worst of man's sin nature, such as fear, resentments, intimidation, greed, etc. They're the type of authority that is a terror unto good works, but not to the evil. Well, it's these real-life adversaries of God which bring the misery and despair so that they may live in comfort at our expense. Let me tell you something. The IRS is not going to last forever. And neither will the midget cowards on a lesser scale. It's for this reason alone, that God is not mocked. The nobility of courage shall prevail. Dignity will rise from obscurity. The day we accept no substitute for the government of Jesus Christ is the day we will become the head and not the tail. The enemies of God will always be the tail. That is, the real cowards. As long as we do not assert our godly authority. It's not in our blood to ignore, surrender, or compromise the laws of God. God never meant for us to be a race of wimps and pusillanimous cowards, but there are those elements that would emasculate our men and reduce them to chattel. But that kind of timid man, lacking resolve, is contemptible to the God of our fathers. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be your reward. 2 Chronicles 15:7. So, men and brethren, what shall we do? I refer you to 2 Timothy 2:16-17. Shun profane and vain babblings, for it will lead to further ungodliness, like a cancer of sophistry. Now, shunning is an old clan practice of deliberately avoiding somebody. Profane is the opposite of holy. Holy means pure. So profane would be impure, mixed, or adulterated. Vain babblings comprise the worthless talk, the fruitless writing aimed at undermining God's word. The lesson here is that a coward will not avoid the trappings of deviant aberrations of Christian theology. A coward will willingly confuse good for evil, thinking the yoke of God is too heavy. Everyone doing what seemeth right in their own eyes is a cowardly perspective. Cowardice is the anarchy of ideas in order to maintain an artificial position of authority in the midst of chaos. You could almost say it's a science for those who don't want to be bothered by honesty or righteousness or racial integrity. The art of cheating is a Jewish virtue, which most white people just can't comprehend. I say that we gain our countenance of peace in the midst of chaos by learning to trust God. Cowards do not trust God. A coward will put "In God We Trust" on our coins and then debauch our economy with usury. Some of these Judeo ministries will talk about faith, but it doesn't mean anything until he dares to do something regardless of the consequences. You see, talk is cheap for a coward. It is far more convenient to use innuendo than evidence. The coward will cry, don't confuse me with the facts. And then takes the facts and confuses you. There's a lot of talk these days about heroes, much of which is misplaced and confusing, especially since 9/11. Well, let's continue this theme, the ungodliness of being a coward, by clarifying more biblical examples as it pertains to the triumph of our racial determination to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Part of the Jewish agenda is to denigrate our heroes while vindicating Jewish criminals. The worst sort of coward is the one who hides behind the mask of a hero, putting on the facade of a pious, godly benefactor and acting like they're God's gift to the world. If I were one of New York's bravest, that's what they call their firemen, digging through the rubble of the World Trade Center, looking for dead bodies, I would be infuriated with the lame government line and Orwellian explanation for the tragedy. But I guess my generation has this Warren Commission mentality that accepts the criminal politics of whitewash, stonewall, and cover-up, as well as assassination and mass murder. Where were New York's finest, that's what they call their cops, when there is evidence of a criminal Jewish conspiracy in 9/11? Don't they have any detectives that can detect or figure this out? Where is the resistance to tyranny is obedience to God mentality, especially from people who know the truth, but from cowardice, refuse to act on their own moral beliefs for ulterior motives? This is the pathology of hypocrisy, seeing no evil, yet squirming with the smell of death in the air. If secret societies have to hide behind the curtain, that means they're cowards to be on the world stage and hire actors to do their bidding. John McCain is a sorry example of a pretend war hero who was really a cowardly POW. Just ask any of the men who survived the Hanoi Hilton. And what does this senator from Arizona do today but continue his betrayal of America? You're quite an actor if you can get white voters to prefer a black opponent. When Obama got reelected with nearly 200 violations of election laws, some of which were patently absurd, giving Obama over 100% of the votes in many precincts throughout the nation, and Romney does what? Nothing? That is the Masonic ungodliness of being a Latter-day coward. The apostate churches thrive on cowardice and is why they are more effeminate than masculine. Woe to the scribes, men of letters, who mold opinion as a potter with clay, because they shut off the kingdom of heaven from men and prevent people from entering the government of God. When a coward pretends to exercise the authority of God's word, it is merely self-righteousness. And I guarantee you from the Bible that their pretentious perspective of wonderfulness, for lack of a better word, will receive the greater damnation and judgment. God bless America? Not if we're cursed with cowards, a cancer of fraudulent leadership. When the talking heads Or is it tails? Remember in cartoon theology, the devil has a tail. Tell us not to judge. What they are really telling us is not to try or test the Spirit to see if it is of God. That would spoil their celebration of compromise and perversion. Nobody has a free pass or pardon from sin other from the blood of Christ. The power of a lie have people in abject submission, quivering in fear. But it is the truth that will set them free. A coward will exploit love for all the wrong reasons, and in doing so is not cultivating honor or virtue, but rather the rotten, spiritless poltroon that is spoiling our race and faith. Not very romantic, culturally. We're standing on the prism of a new millennium in which we Christians speak and act upon the wisdom of the ages, bearing witness of that light that shineth in darkness. I say, give the cowards no quarter, because there is no panacea or effective for the paradigm of Christian revival than the wholehearted defiance against the enemies of Jesus Christ. And that includes the cryptic oxymoron of Judeo-Christianity and the heretical mutations of Christian identity, such as the Paul bashers who would reduce the New Testament to a pamphlet. No matter how much we offend those who are always offended at the slightest hint of truth, let us offend with the perspective that people have been offended for the last 2,000 years. What prevents us from entering the kingdom of heaven is the ungodliness of cowards. Do we become someone's enemy because we tell them the truth? Obviously, such was the case with Jesus, whom they murdered. Indeed, Christianity has survived because of its martyrs, who were just the opposite of cowards. The circumstances surrounding the crucifixion are an excellent example of cowardice on all sides. Among the disciples, there was a betrayer, namely Judas, who didn't waltz in with a SWAT team and point his fingers at the Messiah. No, he gave them a sign with a kiss. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. The kiss of death from a coward who got paid 30 pieces of silver. Had Peter known it was Judas, he probably would have whacked his head off rather than slicing the ear off a servant of the high priest. But later on, Peter himself would play the part of a coward by denying the Lord three times, which Christ prophesied. Poor Peter wept bitterly. And I think it's self-explanatory as to why. The problem we have today with people who call themselves Christians and betray Christ at every opportunity for self-gain is that they don't, can't, or won't recognize their cowardice. And if they do, there's no shame, no choking tears, and certainly no repentance or change of heart. That is ungodliness to the temple. That is ungodliness approaching a reprobate mind. But even pathetic Judas returned the 30 pieces of silver to the temple and then committed suicide. What's really cowardly was what the chief priest and elders told Judas. What is that to us? See that to yourself. In other words, they were saying, not our problem, dude. Go figure it out for yourself. Then they had the pious audacity to say they couldn't put that blood money in their bank, so thinking themselves as godly benefactors, they bought some graves for the poor. How big of them. Even Pilate jumped on the coward's bandwagon in Matthew 27:24. And Pilate, seeing that nothing is gained, but rather an uproar happened, taking water, he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent from this blood." What a sanctimonious coward. Even more revealing was the response of the Christ killers to Pilate, saying, "His blood be on us and our children." How about that? Future generations of mobocracy, a mongrel brood of poltroons. Cowardice is in the blood of Antichrist Jews. And there's nothing more cowardly than pedophiles preying on children, which is codified as a sinless act in that dirty, filthy Talmud. Right now, they are barking like dogs about guns, but they don't have what it takes to just come and confiscate Americans' weapons to defend ourselves from tyrants. So these spineless tyrants will just continue to play their card of gradualism. Jews have the historical reputation for causing injury, pain, or loss to the goyim for their own benefit, gain, and advantage. The Jews did not invent cowardice. They mastered it into an art form. They revel in a multiplicity of scatological executions of Jesus Christ in their Talmud after our Lord and Savior ascended unto heaven. And they rationalize sex with three-year-olds from their rabbinic authorities. Because after all, a child that young is totally defenseless. And what breed of monsters would practice child ritual murder as a religious rite, R-I-T-E? The Jews would. And have spawned an entire abortion industry based on the callous jingoism of pro-choice. It's the choice of cowards and mass murderers. Subhuman species such as the Negroidal or Oriental have a more animal-like propensity for primal cowardice compared to hybrid species such as Jewry, who exhibit more sophisticated forms of cunning and craving modes of cowardice. For this fact of nature, quote, "The Lord shall make thee," meaning the white race, "the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, not beneath, if you hearken unto the commandments of God." Tails belong to animals, not man, not Adam kind. Hence, God's laws were made for us to be civilized, not wild. This sort of behavior is condemned throughout the Bible. It started with Cain going wild with jealousy against his brother. Our own patriarchs of the tribe of Israel sold their brother Joseph for 20 pieces of silver to aliens and then faked his death so that their father Jacob would think wild beast ripped him to pieces. What was their problem with their brother Joseph? They hated him for his dreams and for his words. And in verse 11 of the same chapter, in Genesis 37, they envied him. Joseph dreamed that they would make obeisance to him, and guess what? They did. Then there's the spies from today's morning reading, went into the land of Canaan, the land God promised to the 12 tribes, which was indeed flowing with milk and honey. However, when they returned to the wilderness, they gave an evil report of a country that devours its inhabitants, who are giants compared to our people as grasshoppers. These spies cried, "We can't beat these humongous aliens. They're stronger than us." Good old Caleb, who also surveyed the land, said, "Let's get up off our duff and go clobber them, for we're able to do it." Good old Caleb. Why the discrepancy between the spies? Some were just bankrupt of courage. And then when confronted with danger and stirred up the congregation of Israel to murmur defeat, prompting the idea to return to Egypt as slaves. While on the other hand, Caleb had another spirit that believed God, inasmuch that if the Lord is pleased with us non-cowards, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. He warns the cowards, "Rebel not against the Lord. Don't be afraid of these Canaanites, because the Lord is with us and we can beat them." Numbers 14, 8 and 9. You know the story. The cowards died in the wilderness. We have the same spirit of fear today with cowards saying, "We can't stand up to the New World Order. We're just minnows in a shark tank." And yet, Viet Cong peasants humiliated the American Empire, who had vastly superior firepower. And today, mountain goat herders in Afghanistan remain undefeated. Are we really less capable than primitive cultures that have far less than we do? God doesn't want losers contaminating the fighting spirit of his battle axe and weapons of war. A weapon is worthless if it is not wielded in faith. It is cowardly to vicariously bear arms against someone else, letting someone else do your dirty work. You can read about David's great sin in 2 Samuel 11, when David set up Uriah for a fall on the battlefield so that he could get his wife Bathsheba. This cowardly act sorely displeased the Lord. The seven things God hates in Proverbs 6 are all ungodly behaviors and revert to a type of cowardice that is alien to our ancestry. It's not in our blood. When we act like cowards, there is something that has mongrelized our psyche. You don't suppose the browning of America has anything to do with our cultural demise and moral turpitude, do you? When was the last time you heard about a soldier in the U.S. military being court-martialed for being a coward? Hardly ever, because none dare call it cowardice. Why? Because the armed forces protecting this country are entirely integrated and politically correct. Some racial groups are just not made of the right stuff to fight against all odds. Conversely, black flash mobs can only strike terror when they outnumber their victims. Only one race is told by God that five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase and put to flight 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. One white man, Samson, took the jawbone of an ass, of all things, and slew 1,000 Philistines. Sound incredible? Not if you believe God is the inertia of every muscle in your body and bringing into captivity every thought to obey Christ. Real gun control is God giving you the right aim to hit your targets, even if you lack marksmanship. One of the best kept top secret military reports compiled by civilian investigators of World War II and other missions later, also covered up, is the fact about black GIs committing acts of violence. Not on the front lines of battle, but killing, raping, and other crimes against our civilian allies. Now, the Afrocentric college courses that celebrate black history praise the Negro soldiers of World War II as heroic defenders of America. But the truth is, some 350,000 blacks served in the 92nd and 93rd divisions, and less than 800 died, most of which were non-combat related accidents. Both of these divisions had white commanding officers. Concerning the black conduct during the Battle of Argonne, Colonel Alan J. Greer of the 93rd Division said, "The Negro troops failed in all their missions. They laid down their arms and sneaked to the rear until they were withdrawn. 32 Negro officers were reported for cowardice or failure to prevent their troops from retreating. The French and our white field officers did all that possibly could have been done, but the Negro troops were impossible." General C.C. Ballou of the 92nd offered an even harsher appraisal by saying, "The average Negro soldier is a rank coward in the dark, and that trait renders him worthless in the service." General Mark Clark commanded the 92nd in Italy during World War II, and in his book, Calculated Risk, he said, "The 92nd gave a bad performance. It was the worst division I had. This was because the Negro units in combat were undependable under fire and prone to mass desertions. Actually, they were only on the front lines twice, and on both occasions, the Germans launched counterattacks because of the black troops' presence. Both times, they dropped their weapons, with the rout being led by their own black officers." How's that for leadership? Well, it seems the only way the Negro can glory in any honor is through the stacked deck of affirmative action. And bingo! You've got a 4-star general like Colin Powell, who went on to become Secretary of State, who is but a mere poster boy for what can never be a military warrior. The Tuskegee Airmen were black aviators who escorted U.S. supply planes from North Africa to Italy during World War II. Black educators instruct their pickaninnies during Black History Month that these brave flyboys never lost a plane. The fact is, they were never attacked or under fire. A few years ago, this nigger was promoted to the highest rank which any enlisted man, I should say creatures, can achieve. Sergeant Major Gene McKinney was charged with sexual harassment of 7 women and rape of a pregnant married woman. All of the victims were white. And this nigger was court-martialed, and as usual, the civil rights agitators have screamed racism. We are indeed living in a time when they call good evil and evil good. What a tragedy. And abomination for our people, unable to identify cowards of our own race who have learned the way of the heathen and in so doing have become cowards themselves. Listen to chapter 1 of Joshua as we read in verse 9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, dismayed, or shrink, for your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua ordered the officers, go throughout the army and tell your troops to prepare to march, to go in to possess the country that God has given you. And the tribes of Reuben and Gad formed the vanguard. And verse 14 says, ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. And they replied to Joshua, we will do all that you order us. And wherever you send us, we will go. Every man who rebels against you and will not obey your commands and whatever you order shall die. You can only be strong and courageous. End quote. You cannot be a coward, lest you shall be put to death. Thank God, real Christianity is intolerant of cowardice, for it is a matter of life and death. Good and evil, godliness and ungodliness. God will give us the courage to face the days ahead without fear if we're more of a God-fearing people than fearing the world. God bless the white race, that we may be strong in Jesus Christ.